A year ago, a young African-American woman accused Duke University lacrosse players of raping her while she was stripping for them at a party. The allegation that drunken white student-athletes assaulted a young black woman captured national headlines last spring and sparked a nationwide debate about alcohol, sex, elitism, privilege, and racism on campus. Of course, the details were specific to Duke, but the broad outlines could describe a lot of colleges. A social hierarchy dominated by men, reinforced by many women, lubricated by alcohol, and an almost daily cycle of academics and parties. Afterwards, Duke established a committee to investigate and to propose changes to make its campus a safer, more welcoming place for all students, especially women and minorities. The Campus Life Initiative Steering Committee issued its report earlier this week. Later this hour, the media circus, NPR's David Folkenflik on the network anchors, the satellite radio merger, and what happened to the reporters who published leaked grand jury testimony on Barry Bonds and steroids. But first, can the culture of American college campuses be improved? How? If you're a student, what's it like at your school, and what are some improvements you'd like to see? Our number here is 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. Email is talk@npr.org. And we're joined now by Larry Mineta, the Dean of Students at Duke University, co-chair of the committee. He's in our bureau in New York. Nice of you to come in today.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Also with us is Tricia Bailey, a student who served on the committee. She's with us from the Duke University Students Studios in Durham, North Carolina. And nice to have you on the program as well.
Thank you as well.
Tricia, you're a student at Duke. You're also a member of a sorority, Tri Delta. This report, which you helped create, talks about a culture of excess and alcohol that's especially linked to Greek life on campus and to athletics. Is there a culture of excess from your experience?
I think that my experience is not necessarily representative of every student at Duke, but there is a very small percentage of the population, I think here, at least that it's safe to say, does regularly engage in what one would consider excessive behavior, and that's part of what Duke in the past has celebrated as a work hard, play hard culture. It's just been distorted to be a little bit more extreme. Mm-hmm. I think that the majority of students that fall, I'd say about 80% of students, don't engage in overly excessive partying behavior and really achieve a healthy balance in their lives.
Larry Mineta, is that those numbers sound about right to you?
They do. I think Tricia's accurate in depicting the environment. I think a couple of other elements. One is, though it's a small number, it's a significant enough number to suggest that that may be the norm. And part of the intent and the initiative is to remind our community and many others that the normative behavior by most of our students is very different from that culture of excess.
Yet one of the other things the report says is that some of the exemplars of this culture of excess are, in fact, looked up to by a lot of very influential on campus, the top fraternities, the top sororities, and, of course, student-athletes like the lacrosse players.
Well, I think that's true for some. It's certainly true for enough students that it was of concern to us. And one of the reasons why that we've suggested looking deeply into the environmental conditions, the conditions of privilege that would create the impression that's the cool. We've talked a lot mm-hmm. in our group about trying to reset the cool, reset the norm so it's more representative of the majority of the students that I think both Tricia and I believe are the majority of our students at Duke.
Mm-hmm. Tricia,
absolutely.
The report also speaks about a social environment often disempowering to women, sort of a sterile phrase. What does it mean in terms of your experience?
Disempowering to women, I think. Often, actually, there was a report that came out a few years ago called the Women's Initiative Report. Mm-hmm. And basically, it looked at similar things that we're looking at now, basically the culture regarding women at Duke. And what it found were two very important things, that there is a culture of hooking up is what we coined, mm-hmm. that you don't necessarily have long-term relationships with males here. That's not always always the case, and there's not a real healthy dating scene. And also something that came out of that was this idea of effortless perfection. And what effortless perfection means, essentially to me as a Duke female, is that we are expected to be perfect in every way without really trying very hard. That is pretty intelligent, involved, engaged, and social. And I think that that can be pretty oppressive for a lot of women here. It's not to say that every female feels that way or is impacted by that. But our goal with this report was really to affirm the unperfect Duke students, I think, in many ways, and to, like Larry said, to reset the norm.
Mm-hmm. And obviously this report a few years ago that Tricia just talked about, Larry Minetta, that report was important in and of itself, yet some of the same problems persist, or at least persist into this report. What happened to that report? Did it have recommendations? Were they enacted? Were they enough?
It did. And I have to go back to sort of an early comment you made about fixing the culture.
Uh-huh.
This isn't about fixing the culture. I mean, the culture is long established and will be established for a long time. We're talking about trying to make refinements that move us towards the outcomes that we've articulated. I think the Women's Initiative was an extremely comprehensive approach to understanding the conditions of women at Duke. And I think we made great progress in that first wave of efforts. We did several new programs with undergraduate students. We're proud of a particular program called the Baldwin Scholars. I think in this latest effort, we've gone beyond the efforts of the Women's Initiative to look at the faculty culture, the curriculum, and many other aspects. One of the, I think, exciting opportunities that we had was really to look in a much more interconnected way at the variety of circumstances that contribute to the culture. So I think this is not something that we started with the Women's Initiative. It's not something that will end with the Campus Culture Initiative. It's not something that's unique to Duke. What is unique is our willingness, as evidenced by both of those processes, to step up and figure out what we can do to continue to move to a much better environment for our students.
And not unique to Duke. I wanted to ask you, Larry Minetta, more about that a little bit. How typical, Duke is not typical, but I mean, how typical are these kinds of problems that we see at Duke of other campuses around the country?
Well, I've been at seven different institutions, and I would say that these are exactly the kinds of issues that we struggled with at every one. Their manifestations are different at each school. It's a function of what the culture, the rituals, how are the privileges distributed. In our case, we're looking at some of our housing issues because they're unique to our environment. At other schools, it may be the off-campus world. At its core, these are all part of the struggles for young people to achieve adulthood and some of the positive and negative aspects of that. And at every one of our schools, we're just trying to figure out what are the best opportunities we have to invite students to think differently about their behaviors, think differently about their interactions with people who are like themselves and people who are different from themselves, and move the culture in a very positive way.
Let's get some listeners involved in the conversation. Our guests are Tricia Bailey, a senior at Duke University and a member of the Campus Culture Initiative Committee, and Larry Minetta, the Duke's Dean of Students. If you'd like to join us, 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. Email is talk@npr.org. And we'll begin with Emily. Emily calling us from Mount Vernon in Iowa.
Hi there. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Well, I go to a very small college in Mount Vernon, Iowa. I actually transferred from Brown University in Providence, Rhode Island, where I originally went. And even in this very small town, we have a lot of trouble with drinking. It's the primary activity because, you know, there's not a whole lot to do in rural Iowa. And so most of the college kids here go out to the bars and get drunk. And we have a lot of alcohol poisoning instances. There is a lot of issues with rape and such, but it's usually put under the rug because it's a small private college. And I'm, you know, one of the rare individuals who just does not enjoy drinking. I don't enjoy getting drunk, and thus it's difficult for people like me to have any kind of social life with anyone here that doesn't revolve around drinking. And it's not even something that, you know, I find myself interested in because of it's completely destructive towards, you know, your body and towards other things as well. But it is basically the center of the social life at the college I go to, and we've been having storm systems in Iowa, and recently the power went out, and someone drank to the point of getting alcohol poisoning and passed out and hit their head, and there was a whole crisis with that. And so it is very detrimental to the college life, and it is a very, very big center of college life in America.
And Tricia,
I'm not really sure what can be done about that.
I was going to say, Tricia Bailey, the report describes, and other reports that we've seen certainly describe alcohol at the center of a lot of the social life at Duke as well.
Right, and that's been a large criticism of a lot of students on our campus, is that, you know, a lot of the parties do revolve solely around alcohol, and there's been a large call that was started at a pretty grassroots level from a lot of students who are very upset about that and have started their own initiatives, which one of which is called Duke Plays, and their slogan is Work Hard, Play Well. And the idea is that the larger Duke community can come together and do things that are not completely alcohol-centered. And last weekend, actually, we had a party in our library sponsored by Duke Plays, and we're able to really come together in a completely different way than I think a lot of Duke students are used to doing. It was an amazing turnout, and things like that are really what I hope the culture of Duke University will become.
And are those events the kind of things that Larry Mineta was talking about earlier, trying to reset the idea of cool?
Yes, definitely. Definitely. Mm-hmm. I think that that's precisely what we're looking to do. Mm-hmm. And to also, along with that, you know, the administration has to provide students with spaces to have events like that. And that also comes along with a lot of our recommendations as well.
And just briefly, Larry Mineta, I know that one of the recommendations of this report, we're not sure it's going to be enacted, was alcohol's been off campus for some years now, to open a pub there on campus to model good behavior.
Well, actually, we have a couple now, and I do think there's ample opportunity to have drinking venues for students who are of legal drinking age, as well as to provide a variety of alternatives. But I want to be realistic. I mean, the worst dance on campus is going to be the one that I throw. This is something that really is going to work only to the extent that we have students who are interested. The Duke Plays movement was born of students who had no affiliation with any particular group. They just said, let's just show that it can be done differently. And they just stepped up and did it. And we're seeing the first bubbles on this pot all over the campus. And I'm very enthusiastic about the opportunities.
Emily, thanks very much for the call. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
We're talking about campus culture, often fueled by booze, entitlement, and worse. What's the culture like on your college campus? 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. Email us, talk@npr.org. I'm Neil Conan. We'll be back after a short break. It's the Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. We're talking about campus culture this hour and all the isms that still exist on some college campuses, racism, sexism, elitism. Our guests are Larry Mineta, the Dean of Students at Duke University, co-chair of the committee that's investigated campus culture at that university, as well as Tricia Bailey, a student who served on that committee. The report ordered in the aftermath of the incident where an African-American stripper accused Duke lacrosse students of raping her at a party there last year. We want to hear from you about your campus. How can the culture be improved? 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. Email is talk@npr.org. Let's get a call in from Ray. Ray's with us from South Carolina.
How are you?
I'm well, thank you. Go ahead, please.
Good. I bring something of a 25 years after the fact perspective. My summer abroad program was with Duke, and I indeed found the environment to be fun-loving, if we may say that, but also serious on the academic side. I wonder if the real story a year after these accusations isn't more with the opportunism of this woman who has been discredited, the discrediting of the DA, the cowardice of the administration in allowing due process to happen. College kids are always going to be college kids, and I can hardly think of a more open environment than today's college campus. But in my judgment, the real story here is one part I am Charlotte Simmons and one part a man in full.
Mm-hmm. Charlotte Simmons, of course, the novel thinly disguised about Duke University. Larry Mineta, I apologize, I've misidentified you. You are the Vice President of Student Affairs, but go ahead, respond to Ray, if you would.
Well, I'm not sure I have an adequate response. We've tried very hard to not have the Campus Culture Initiative be a referendum on the lacrosse matter, nor on really anything specifically related to it. The issues that we've dealt with in the initiative have been issues that we and others have struggled with for a long time. We're taking the longer view about our campus culture, our campus environment. I'll leave it to others to argue the merits of the case itself. It's still being handled, and I think it's not really something that we should talk about right now.
Mm-hmm. Ray, thanks very much.
All right.
Here's an email question we got from Michael. A question for both of your guests. The discussion thus far is concentrated on somewhat tired stereotypes of college life, drinking, short-term relationships, expectations of women. My question is this: what is actually being done to engage young men on campus in a discussion of appropriate consensual sex? Tricia Bailey?
Yeah, I think that that's a conversation that hasn't yet happened in the way that it can and that it should. I think that this report brings out a lot of areas that we really do need to work on being able to discuss openly, honestly, as a community of students, faculty, and administrators. But this is really a conversation that students need to have with one another. And I'm hoping that before I leave, somebody really does take it up. This is something only students can do. No administrator can mandate that kind of conversation.
But talking earlier, you were describing the hookup culture. As I understand it, this is consensual on both sides, at least as a culture.
Consensual hookup?
Yeah.
Yes, it is. And I think that as we really start to have more lively, productive, open conversations about these issues as students together. What this report does is it's kind of a push to the students. It says, here are the questions that we asked. These are the areas that we really identified need to be discussed in a much more thoughtful and comprehensive manner. And now it's time for you to pull. And that's an area that again and again comes up. And I really think that, the usual suspects show up at these discussions. And so in order to get the whole community engaged is a really big challenge, and a lot of students are doing small things to get this to start to happen. But we are really hoping for something on a larger scale in the future, and we've got the next few months to kind of reimagine how we can do that for students.
I couldn't agree more with Tricia on both fronts, both the need for imaginative, creative ways to engage men in the discussion and ways to engage the entire student body, and that ultimately this is going to require collective support, collective wisdom from the students for us to really change the culture.
Well, joining us now is Janet Reitman, a contributing editor for Rolling Stone magazine. Last spring, she went to the Duke campus to see what life there is really like. Her article is called Sex and Scandal at Duke, Lacrosse Players, Sorority Girls, and the Booze-Fueled Culture of the Never-Ending Hookup on the Nation's Most Embattled College Campus. Her report was, in fact, quoted in the campus culture report. And Janet Reitman, nice to have you on the program with us.
Thank
today.
You so much.
Is this good? Is this for me, or was this here before?
I don't know who you are.
I'm sorry?
There's a male voice talking, and we don't know who he is. I guess he's gone away, and that's a good thing. But anyway, Janet Reitman, I apologize for that intrusion. And your article, we were just talking about the hookup culture and consensual sex. Your article goes to the point that sex is at the heart of a lot of this.
Yeah. I mean, I think sex is at the heart of a lot of what's going on lots of college campuses. I don't think this is by any means restricted to Duke, and I hope that the article that I wrote doesn't narrow that too much, because I think this is a nationwide issue on campuses.
Which is presumably why a nationwide publication was interested in exploring it. But when you say...
I mean, we're interested in that. I mean, I looked at that as a trend among young people, not a trend among young people at Duke University.
Mm-hmm. And when you say sex is at the heart of this, explain a little bit about what you mean.
Well, I mean, I just think that young people in general are lead lives that are where sex is plays a part to some degree or another, depending on how much. I mean, there is a certainly a greater emphasis on sex and sexuality, especially with young women, according to the young women that I interviewed, and also with young women I've interviewed across the country for other stories that I've. I don't think sex is at the heart of this Duke, the situation at Duke University. I mean, mm-hmm. In my view, false allegations of rape were at the heart of the situation at Duke University. I mean, I think that you had a caller just a minute ago that was pointing out that there was a variety of appalling things that happened with regard to this case, including, a miscarriage of justice, frankly. And I couldn't agree more wholeheartedly with that. I think it was a scandalous situation, and you know, it was it, and this woman actually who alleged rape, clearly, I guess, none, you know, it didn't happen, and I think she did women a disservice, and she tremendous disservice. You know, women who have legitimately been raped and legitimately been attacked.
Well, she still alleges, and it's still being investigated, sexual assault, so that remains to be seen.
I thought that, well, okay.
No, those charges
are... rape charges, oh, that's right.
The rape charges have been...
Minor, yeah, there's some lesser, well, okay.
Sexual assault is still a pretty serious charge.
Yes.
And nevertheless, but that remains to be seen. It certainly does not look good for the case at this point, but nevertheless. But the kinds of parties that you described, the frat parties, the local bars just off campus parties that you went to, those are certainly not unique to Duke University.
No, I mean, I did not, you know, I attended a couple of parties. I certainly didn't attend some of the more outrageous parties that I described that other, you know, the students described to me. And some of these took place during rush week and whatnot, and I was not there during that period. But but I didn't see anything, nothing I saw surprised me or nothing I heard surprised me. I mean, I went to college, you know, in the 1980s, and we had wild booze-fueled parties, too, and did outrageous things, too. I mean, maybe not quite as outrageous as you know, what is going on today at Duke or at any school, but it's not just Duke. I think it's any school. I think there are many or a number of schools where you're going to have, you know, schools that have a large party culture, a drinking culture. I mean, Duke has a big, you know, they have a huge athletic culture, and a partying culture that goes right along with all of that. They have a big Greek system at Duke. Mm-hmm. You know, that so do many, many, many schools in this country. I don't think it's unique to just this one school, and you know, and sex goes right along with a lot of that.
Well. Let's see if we can get another caller on the line. This is Chris. Chris is calling us from Charlottesville in Virginia. University of Virginia is located there.
Hi, how are you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Yeah, so University of Virginia is one of the fellow ACC schools of Duke, and I'm not sure if Duke has the same problem that Virginia does, but I just feel that at UVA, the fraternities sort of get away with a lot more than as far as underage drinking. Also, I mean, even sexual assault is sort of just left to what at University of Virginia is called student self-governance. And the fraternities are supposed to be self-governing, but I really don't see that happening. So I was wondering if that's a similar problem at Duke.
What do you think, Tricia Bailey?
I think in any instance, sexual assault is taken very seriously here. Whether or not somebody feels comfortable or empowered enough to say anything about it is a completely different issue. And I think that that's a lot of what our work is also in the Campus Culture Initiative. It happens here, and it shouldn't. And we've all accepted that. But I wouldn't say that it's by any means the norm. And when it does occur, like I said, it is taken very seriously. Of course, there is room for improvement there, but I don't. It is by no means left up to student self-government governance. Obviously, these are personal choices that people make, and variables like alcohol can play into those decisions. But it is a problem here. It is a very serious problem, but not at the forefront of all of this.
Mm-hmm. Janet Reitman.
That's interesting to me because I think one of the problems that I saw at Duke, or, you know, one of the things I kept hearing all the time from the young women that I interviewed was exactly that sexual assaults do happen and a variety of, you know, sexually compromising situations, whether it winds up as an actual assault or just, you know, a situation that goes to a point where it could potentially turn into an assault. And I heard that from lots of girls, that there was harassment, there were assaults, but that these girls often did not feel empowered, if you want to use that word, empowered enough to go forward and say anything. And that, you know, in order to be considered popular, and I heard this particularly, by the way, among the sorority girls within this core four that I wrote about, and which I'm sure Tricia's very aware of. She's part of that system. But from a number of young women in these top sororities in the sort of elite social scene at Duke, I found the women who were the least empowered to speak up for themselves and assert themselves, and who are actually, in the case of many of them, just, you know, sort of like sort of driven to distraction by these insecurities, which were so bizarre to me because they were in every other way just the greatest women I'd ever met in my life. I mean, they were smart, they were focused, they were driven, they were beautiful, attractive. You know, they had everything going for them. So I was struck by their sort of social insecurities when it came to men and to pleasing men and to be considered popular, and then to the point where they would maybe not assert themselves in positions where they obviously should.
Tricia Bailey?
As you mentioned, I am a part of that, and I hate this term, but, quote, Core 4 group. One of the sorority that I am a member of is, I guess, considered in that population of people. I do not know anybody personally who engages in a lot of the kinds of behavior that were mentioned in that article. And I think that that's not to say that doesn't happen. I'm sure it does. And it is a problem. And regardless of the fact that it's two people engaging that kind of behavior or 1,000, it is a problem. But I think that the sorority's place on this campus is to and should be, and we do need to work on this, you're right, forming a more supportive community of women at Duke. That is something that we're not always very good at. And to really embrace the differences that we all have and to spend time with each other outside of a social context and to really embrace our sisterhood, which may not always happen. And so in a lot of ways, what our report does, and I'm going to bring this right back to the Campus Culture Initiative, is it challenges these groups to be what they should and can be, which is brotherhoods and sisterhoods. Also, I can tell you that I have a lot of friends that are unaffiliated with Greek organizations, and they were completely outraged at that article because they knew no one like that. So that gives you some indication of the fact that it if it does exist, it is a very small, elite, isolated group.
Wait. I have to interrupt to say you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. All right, Larry Mineta, you've been quiet, and then we'll go back to Janet Reitman.
I think we got to be honest here. I think everything Janet said and described is for some number, and I think that the issue is what's small, what's large. It is true to some degree, and we've all acknowledged that in every campus there's an extremist element that has defined sexual relationships and use and abuse of alcohol as the core aspect of their social life. And so I'm not sure what's to be gained from debating whether it's small or there's a component of it. We all agree it's a destructive component. We all agree it's representative of the not the majority of our students on any campus, certainly not at Duke, and not what we want to be representative of what our students really do. We have to be careful about painting with a broad brush stroke. We're very proud of our Greek community. The vast majority of our Greek students are engaged in very healthy activities. Our student leaders, our leaders in philanthropy. We're very proud of our athletic programs. I'm always nervous about trying to make a direct correlation between any subset of our community and the issues that we all agree need to be responded to. To some degree, all students at some time do something that may not be in their best aim, they make poor decisions. Some students do it more frequently than others. What we're trying to do is create an environment where the normative behavior is truly a healthy one, where there is a sense of respect, there is a sense of engagement, and there's no quick fix to this. These are issues that the students are bringing with them to our colleges. Increasingly, these are behaviors exhibited in the high schools and increasingly in the middle schools. So this is a slow resocialization process about what a healthy relationship is between our students, between themselves and among themselves.
And Janet Reitman, I'll give you the last 30 seconds.
You know, I couldn't agree with Larry more. I think that's absolutely correct. And if you read the article carefully, you'll see, most of these young women that I interviewed, these were statements about their overall social lives and their overall view of themselves and, their view of boys. And it did not just happen to them when they showed up as freshmen at Duke. This was stuff that they took with them, exactly, from high school, from junior high school, from the way they were raised by their parents. I mean, there's an issue here of social and personal responsibility.
Yes.
That, I do think that in terms of these behaviors,
Janet.
I mean, I think that was completely disingenuous what your student has said, because if she just went into...
And I'm afraid we're going to have to, I apologize, but we're going to have to leave it there. Janet Reitman's article in Rolling Stones is Sex and Scandal at Duke. Larry Mineta is Vice President of Student Affairs at Duke. Tricia Bailey, a Duke senior and a member of the Campus Culture Initiative Committee. Thanks to you all. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News.